Welcome, and thank you for joining us for this service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. The sermon will be delivered by our pastor, the Reverend David Hutchinson. We are here to celebrate. God's love is here for each one of us, and God loves us all.
There are many ways to celebrate God's love and to thank God. There are many different people throughout the world, people unlike us who worship with us.
Yet, today is the day to concentrate not on our differences, but on our similarity and our unity in Christ.
We are united in joy for the one who saves us from sin and offers us new life.
This is hymn number 492, Baptized in Water. This is the 24th Sunday in Ordinary Time, September 13th, 2020. Listen to the word that God has given to us. Exodus chapter 14, verses 19 through 31. The angel of God who was going before the Israelite army moved and went behind them, And the pillar of cloud moved in front of them and took its place behind them. It came between the army of Egypt and the army of Israel. And so the cloud was there with the darkness, and it lit up the night. One did not come near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. The Israelites went into the sea on dry ground. The waters formed a wall for them on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went into the sea after them, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and chariot drivers. At the morning watch, the Lord in the pillar of fire and cloud looked down upon the Egyptian army and threw the Egyptian army into panic. He clogged their chariot wheels so they turned with difficulty. The Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the Israelites, for the Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and chariot drivers." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at dawn the sea returned to its normal depth. As the Egyptians fled before it, the Lord tossed the Egyptians into the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the chariot drivers, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed him into the sea. Not one of them remained. But the Israelites walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great work that the Lord did against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord and believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Can you imagine what freedom feels like? Or maybe you can remember. It's that light, anxious kind of feeling of relief. It's tentative, but it's also frightening, and it's to be unburdened, to be free, liberated, and pushed out into the unknown. Imagine an eagle taking flight off the edge of a vast cliffside in the mountains of Utah or the Grand Tetons or the Rockies. Think about the training wheels coming off of your bicycle for the first time, if you can remember back that far. Or maybe it's your first car. Or the 1-year anniversary of quitting smoking or drinking. To be free is to be fully alive in a way that is invigorating and terrifying at the same time. So could that be how the Israelites felt as they crossed through the Red Sea? They looked back and the water closed behind them, and they were free for the first time. I remember one of the first trips to New York City as a student where I studied. I remember feeling this mixture of excitement and terror brought on by freedom. I recall struggling with my luggage and hobbling around the airport. Finally found the airport, found the bus stop, and the bus finally arrived, and this man behind me said something that I couldn't understand. Well, a little disoriented anyway. "Excuse me," I said, "what did you say? Could you repeat that?" And he mumbled the same exact sounds, but I didn't understand it even the second time, because he repeated it exactly the same way as the first time. And so at that moment, I looked at him and I made a judgment. I figured he must want something from me. After all, I was on my own in the big bad world. I was free, I was independent, and that was the moment that I also kind of wanted my mommy. But I said, "No, I'm sorry, I don't have any change to spare." I was guessing that he wanted something based on the assumptions I have about freedom and people and how the world is going to work now that I'm on my own. And he looked at me with kind of a funny look, and he grabbed my suitcase. and then he carried it on the bus. I just wanted to help you out with your luggage, he said. And then he showed his ticket to the bus driver, and he sat down in the seat behind me. And I started to learn something that day and at that moment that I am still learning. There's more than one way to venture out into the world. And there's more than one way to exercise our God-given freedom in this life. We can go through life with walls up all around us, or we can try to break down the walls. And unfortunately, right now, there's so much negativity and meanness about how we perceive each other in the world. There's a book about a man who broke down some walls years and years ago, crossed the sea, came to a new land. It's called Kaffir Boy. It's about a black tennis player named Mark Mathbane. Maybe you've heard of him. He came to America from South Africa to play tennis. And he admits he was glad to leave behind the problems of his homeland, apartheid in South Africa, but even so tells of his attachment to home. He says, now even far, far away from home, I can still hear my mama's voice echoing through the valley of a thousand hills, calling me home for supper. So he's attached to home, and yet he also says, I was like Tennyson's Ulysses, a part of all that I had met. So he's attached to home, and yet he becomes a part of the people he meets. And so that experience for me is about a tension in this whole thing of freedom. I think it's there for all of us. There's this tension. We break down walls that separate us, but we also want to maintain some attachments. The Israelites in the scripture for this morning are venturing out, right? They're crossing the Red Sea into this unknown wilderness freedom, a foreign land, and they're excited and probably terrified, and they take certain attachments and customs with them, memories, friendships, families, that forever they will remember that night of death, the Passover, when the angel of death chose to spare them. And yet there's a necessary closing off. The sea crashes shut, it closes, there's no way you can go back, no matter how you want to. The chariot wheels are stuck in the mud. The people are free. They're free from certain parts of their past, but also protected by this wall of water, and yet not completely protected from their memories, the slavery, the Egyptians, and suddenly they have this new identity. And they're no longer slaves. They're a people. They're a free people. They're a nation. Israel. And then they're free. Are we like them at all, do you think? Are there attachments we need to each other and to God, to our nation, to we a people? With an identity? Christians? Americans? That identity, whatever it is, connects us to people that we don't know, that we haven't met. The water of baptism sets us free, like the water in the Red Sea set the Hebrew people free. Our water is a water of rebirth, and it's through death, through the death and resurrection of Christ. There's things that die and things that are born. The freedom that God offers us through Jesus, right? But there's all the things that we have to close ourselves off from in our lives for that to happen, for it to work. Things that enslave us and things that we need protection from. Things that we can be free from. That's what Jesus has done. That's what Jesus did for countless people. They were set free. And somehow we're linked with all of that and all those people that we've never met in Jesus. Walls are broken down. The language, the customs, these invisible walls, and we're freed from all that's destructive and that's sinful, and by this invisible wall that also protects us. But there's fear as well in the freedom. Water can become bitter. The Hebrews are set free through a wall of water, and the very next time they encounter water, in 15, chapter 15, it's too bitter for them to drink. They complain about their new freedom. Look at chapter 15, verses 22, 23 in Exodus. Just after the Hebrews are freed by passing through the water of the sea, they arrive at a place called Marah, and they look for water to drink in the wilderness, but it's what the water that they discover is too bitter. It's the very next verse. They're freed, and then the water becomes bitter. Verse 21 says that the seawater closed over the army that had pursued them. Miriam actually sings about it in verse 21 of chapter 15. And then in verse 22, it says they found no water in the wilderness. And then when they find water, it's bitter. For more water than, they go from more water than anybody could ever drink in an ocean to no water at all. And then in the very next verse, they arrive at Marah, and the only water is too bitter to drink. And then they complain, and they are afraid, and they're disoriented. And God and Moses immediately make the water drinkable, right? They put the wood or whatever in the water, and it becomes drinkable and sweet. But the Hebrews' fear has been revealed by the experience, drinkable or not. Their thin veneer of trust is chipped away. The walls of slavery have given way to desire for protection and fear and the walls of protection. There's a poem called The Invisible Wall. It goes like this. At the art reception, held in a modern bank, my daughter ran full speed into a wall of glass. She ricocheted 5 feet and for a second lay stunned, until screams echoed through the lobby. Guests were sipping wine, and they all turned with a chorus of eyes, and I picked up my wounded butterfly off the floor, her screams turning to sobs, a red welt forming on her forehead. And together we examined the invisible wall that comes up out of nowhere and knocks us flat without any interest at all. Are there invisible walls of our own making that close us off from each other and from God? And have you ever felt like that little girl, just sort of knocked flat by life? And are there invisible walls of protection that God uses to separate us from all the destructive things in our lives, like walls of water that separate the Israelites forever from their history of slavery, if they let it? But along with protection comes freedom, and freedom can be scary. Because we're free from all that enslaves us and separates us, but we come to see that we're connected to everybody around us, and that we're somehow connected as well to God. Freedom and responsibility are connected. Discipleship and citizenship are the connection. And if we understand the nature, really the nature of our freedom, then we live in commitment and connections of citizenship, discipleship, and responsibility. We've been set free, but for what? Freedom always begs the question, now what? And now, what will we do with our freedom? Will we become bitter and afraid and mean and disconnected? Or will we live in hope and in trust? We're free. It seems to me there's two kinds of fear. There's bitter fear and there's trust fear. Fear doesn't just go away. But what will you do with your fear? Will it be bitter fear or trust fear? Will we complain and blame other people? Will we cause hurt and be hurt in fear and anger? Or will we trust that God is in this and that God is calling us to something new? We're set free by the amazing love of God in Christ. Think about that. Take that in. Feel what freedom feels like. We are free. So, now what? Now what?
This is hymn number 440. In Christ, there is no east or west.
Gracious God, we come to you today in prayer, thankful for your amazing love and mercy and grace. And we come with all kinds of mixed emotions from our lives and relationships and from the world around us. And we bring you that in our prayer. We don't just come to blurt it out and then leave it lying on the ground around our feet. We bring it as a prayer, together with each other. We bring our hopes and the possibilities of our lives, our words of incredible thanks, our gratefulness for this amazing, beautiful life and for the people in it who we love and care for, who have cared for us, for the gifts of each day, of sunshine and even occasionally rain, and for your love and grace. Hear our prayers today for those on our prayer list, for those who've lost loved ones recently, for those who are facing treatments or in the midst of recovery, or for those who are lonely or just struggling with ongoing health concerns. May your healing abound. We hold them all in your healing light, whether the names have come in on the email prayer chain, or we've heard a phone call, or we just know someone in our own lives. Hear our prayers today. Be with us in the hopes and possibilities. Inspire us to live as faithfully as we can and to follow you. And hear us now as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Go out into this world in peace. Hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the weak-hearted. Support the weak and help the suffering. Honor everyone. Rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit that is with us. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the amazing love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit go with you.